just to start with then, what do we mean by money mules?
Well, this is mainly where somebody's bank account is used to either facilitate funds being transferred through it, or them paying cash into the bank account and then transfer it to someone else, effectively to hide either the identity of whose money it is, or being used as the person rather than the person whose money it is, because they don't want any trace of that particular money. So often it's people who are said, oh, can you just transfer this £1,000 to me because I can't have access to a bank account, or I use a digital bank and can't put cash in. You know, here's 50 quid for your trouble, and, you know, just transfer this money to another bank account. So the sort of main focus of this is the sort of things that we've been seeing on the island, with people being used to remit the proceeds of crime off the island. So there's obviously been a lot of media around, you know, people taking cash off the island, either in cars or whatever, or taking money into their account and transferring it off the island. But it's obviously, you know, people who are at the lower end of the sort of crime scale. It's not the people involved. So we're trying to just get out the awareness out there to make sure that people aren't, you know, suckered into using their bank account for nefarious reasons.
So we're talking about money transferred through bank accounts as well as physical cash as well. So on the, like you say, on the boat and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, this is specifically around bank accounts, but it might be that somebody asks you to pay cash into your bank account and then transfer it to another bank, say in the UK, and, you know, they'll pay you some money for doing that, but you don't know where that cash has come from. They may use any reason, I need to transfer this money to my auntie or whatever, you know. You know, they're not going to necessarily tell you the truth, or they might tell you the truth. But what we're trying to do is say to people, look, you know, this is quite dangerous. It's the proceeds of crime. That's quite a serious offence. Mm-hmm. Money laundering is a serious offence. And therefore, you know, what you might think is quite straightforward, and you may just get a bit of cash out of it, and it's not really too serious, that can have serious consequences, because it could mean that you could never get a bank account in the future. The bank might close your account, and that might, you know, affect your credit history, the ability to have financial services in the future, whatever, just for the sake of, you know, one transaction or a series of transactions.
Hmm. Based on what we've seen on the island, like you mentioned, who seems to be the most vulnerable to this, to becoming a money mule?
So I think there's sort of three groups. There's obviously the young, mm-hmm. Maybe financially naive, maybe approached and don't think that it's a serious thing. There's obviously people who are vulnerable in the community who have bank accounts. So that's often people who are targeted. Or just people who are scammed for whatever reason. You know, it might be that the reason seems genuine, but the reasons behind it are obviously a little bit more suspect, and, you know, people may be suckered into that. So there's three groups, really. But what we're trying to do is get the message out to everybody and, you know, talk to people about, you know, if it's your children or if it's your elderly parents or grandparents or whatever, then, you know, that they can't be scammed into anything like this.
How is it that these scammers and the people associated with this type of crime, how are they approaching? How are they making that initial approach? I've heard it's through Facebook sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's through Facebook. And interestingly, you know, the sort of stats that we see, Facebook is the, you know, the concentration on the island is actually quite higher than a lot of other, you know, either UK or jurisdictions around the world. It seems that everything is on Facebook.
Right.
Or it may be people approached in the street or through friends, or it may be just, you know, an approach, you know, by like an email. You know, a lot of these things you sometimes see, not necessarily where the proceeds of crime are on the island, but, you know, sort of international scams. You see, you know, they'll send out thousands and thousands of email just in the hope that they might get one person to answer, to say, oh, well, you know, you can use my bank accounts. This was seen, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. A lot of students in the UK, the people were being approached on university campuses, or would you like to make a quick £50 or whatever? You know, you can expect this money coming into your bank account. When you receive it, you know, just send the amount less 50 quid to this bank account. And a lot of students were getting suckered into that because they thought it was easy money. So.
I mean, interesting, like you say, about the Facebook approach. Does it seem to be when people put things onto pages, that public pages and things like that? How can they tighten up their social media?
Well, I'm not an expert on social media, but I think it's interesting how much goes on social media. I mean, there was the thing that was a crash in St. John's, and you know, a couple of people have posted on there, say, oh, I've got a live video or video feed of it, and it's just like, that's obviously not, but
clearly
it's almost like that you know, pull into attraction of social media, saying, oh, you know, I just, you know, if I click on there, it just, it might be something that nobody else has seen, or mm-hmm. it might be something that's really interesting. But that's almost like the social engineering that people use to try and get you into that. And it might be, you know, there's an offer of a job. I mean, I get texts sometimes saying, oh, you want, do you want to earn some money? You can work from home and da-da-da, you know. And it's just like, that might be the initial approach, but then it might turn into something that's completely different.
We've spoken to the Cyber Security Centre, I think, a couple of times about phishing, like you say, through emails, like you were saying, was sent out to the students. Do you think people are getting more aware of that? And obviously these kind of campaigns help that, don't they?
They do, but I think the other thing is the level of sophistication of some of this stuff goes up and up and up. Mm. And it's almost like, you know, some of the things you see, you know, it, even that I see, and then you're like, is it real or is it fake? Because you get so much information through, you know, social media or through email, you know, it's like, is it real or is it not real? You know, and you just don't know. And therefore, do I click on this? Don't I click on this? But a lot of it's just about the education about, you know, if it's too good to be true, it often is. Or even if it's slightly too good to be true, it often is. And I think that, you know, the thing you can do often is just check, you know, it's like I got an email from my bank yesterday. You know, I'm not going to reply to the email. I'm going to phone them and say, is this genuine? Because even though I've worked in the banking industry, and I'm 99.9% sure, I'd rather phone them and just double check, because you just don't know whether somebody has intercepted an email from them and then, you know, made it look like it's from the bank and you've all the same word and etc.
And talking about blurring the lines between reality and something that's fake online, of course we've got AI to contend with now, haven't we? Is that posing a whole other challenge?
Well, I think that is one of those things whereby, you know, there's people can educate themselves about it, but whether it's real or whether it's fake, I think that almost a lot of people are challenging that. And therefore, you know, I want to, you know, it might be real, but I want to use AI to make it real, you know. And a lot of work that digital are doing on the Isle of Man, for example, you know, that's like saying how small businesses can use AI to actually help them in the way that they market things online, etc. But, you know, is it AI or is it somebody in, you know, a big room in a place like India? Or we've seen a lot of stuff in Southeast Asia where they're using big rooms and they're just employing people to send out thousands of things every day. You know, AI is a challenge around that. And it's like the internet, you know, the internet's great for a lot of things, but it's not great for some things, and therefore you just have to be cautious and careful.
I was interested in what you said before about even if you have any sort of doubts, you're still going to confirm it with your bank. Is that always the best advice to give to people if they're even slightly unsure about something that's popped up on their feed or come into their inbox?
Yeah, I mean, banks will rather you call them to confirm that it's genuine. I mean, I got a call from a bank, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago. Oh, we got some suspicious transactions on your card. And I had no idea whether it was the bank or not. And I just said, look, you know, I'd rather call you back. And they said, that's fine. If somebody says, oh, well, you know, we'd rather deal with it now than you call you back, that would be a red flag to me to say, well, why is the bank insisting rather than saying, well, we're quite happy to call you back? And it's like, you know, call from a different phone and, you know, call on a number that you know is definitely the bank, you know, all that kind of stuff is the sort of good practice. But it's sometimes in our hectic lives, it's almost like I want to solve that issue now. And it's like, especially if somebody's making you think that you've been defrauded or your card's been used, you know, it's easy to be suckered into that idea that, you know, I'm going to lose more money if I don't do something about it now. But, you know, taking a couple of minutes to say, I'll call you back and check it out, you know, maybe can just save you that that grief later on.
And you're never going to annoy the bank, are you, by going and just saying, I just want to double check something about this call I've just received.
Yeah, and the banks would rather you do that than, you know, having to deal with, you know, a client who's, you know, paid money away in a scam and the bank saying, we can't do anything about this because you insisted on making this payment. You know, if it was an investment scam or a romance scam or whatever it was, you know, the money's gone. We can't do anything about it because it will have gone to a bank and then it will be moved on straight away from that bank because the fraudsters, the scammers know that, you know, they get the money away from it being traced and being recalled as quickly as possible. And that's often what the banks have to deal with, is the consequences of somebody making a transaction. So the banks would rather you phone them up and say, look, I'm not quite sure about this. You know, I've been asked to make this payment, and you know, the bank can give you advice on that. Mm.
And we were talking a bit beforehand about this collaboration between the four groups, the Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the Isle of Man Constabulary and the Cyber Security Centre. Tell us about how this collaboration started and a bit about this what's led to this latest campaign.
So we've had a fraud forum within the Bankers Association with representatives from the bank for a number of years. And, you know, we were seeing... some years ago, these sort of trends around fraud, and it was about getting out there. And, you know, we worked obviously quite closely with the police and the financial crime unit around instances of fraud that actually had happened or scams that had actually happened. And that's where this relationship came around and say, you know, let's get out there and let's put some effort into trying to publicise this to make people aware that this stuff is going on and make people aware that, you know, that they're not immune to this on the Isle of Man, because I think there was definitely a sense of that, is that this doesn't happen here, but this definitely does happen here. You know, people have been scammed, you know, people have been used as money mules on the Isle of Man. It does happen. It happens on a weekly basis, and therefore that's why these agencies have got together. And you know, we're quite happy to, you know, to front this from the Bankers Association, because obviously we got, you know, people who are expert around this in the individual banks as well, but obviously the support that we get from the other agencies, because they see the side of it that we don't see.
And listeners will hear the on-air campaign, of course, around the Money Mules campaign, but where can they find more information just in general?
So obviously the Constabulary, the Office of Cybersecurity, have got more information around this as well. We're going to post some stuff on the Manx Radio website. But talk to your own bank. You know, they'll all have information around fraud and how to combat fraud. You know, there's frequently asked questions on all the banks' websites as well. So that's definitely a source of data. But, you know, we're going to continue this, and we're going to do other campaigns later in the year and early into next year as well on different subjects as well. But it's all about raising the awareness.
And we'll look forward to them in the future. Thank you, Chris. Is there anything else you'd like to mention at all?
I'd just like to thank all the people that have been involved, you know, putting this campaign together, because, you know, they've put a lot of work into this. And I think we're going to see the benefits of, hopefully, because if we stop one person being used as a money mule, then, you know, and that multiplies, then that's better for the island, and it keeps the island as safe as possible.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.